Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashad Sunni El Amin. This show is Your Health is Your Wealth. We're on every Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7:30. We want to thank Imam Alfred Muhammad, who hosts this show during the week, Religion Means Alive. And I always thank him for allowing me this spot every Thursday so we can speak on health issues. And I always suggest to the listening audience to be prepared and have a pen and pad ready to take notes. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. Again, I am Rashad Sunni El Amin, the host of Your Health is Your Wealth, and I am a holistic educator and a naturopath. So, again, if you can, try to get some family members to tune in to this program, or friends or co-workers, so they can also get this information, which is very important. We have a few topics today we're going to speak about, and we're going to touch on basically enzymes and natural supplements. We want to touch on that this evening, things that can benefit you and your body and your mind. So please be ready to take these notes. Now, before we touch on that, I want to just mention some foods that you should avoid that contain additives and artificial ingredients. You know, when you go to the supermarket, especially when you buy processed foods that are mostly packaged, you see all these additives and artificial ingredients. They could be dyes. It could be antifreeze. Yeah, they come under a different name. And a whole host of stuff. Names you can't even pronounce. And, you know, when you can't pronounce something, it's best to stay away from it, especially if you don't know what it is. You just take it for granted, well, it's not going to kill me because they wouldn't put it in there, but it gradually builds up in your system, and after a while, your body starts to break down. But additives are placed in foods for a number of reasons. First of all, it's to lengthen shelf life. Yeah, they want things to sit on the shelf for years, if possible, you see, because they stock up, they make a lot of this, a lot of these food items, and they have to put it up there so it will last a certain amount of time. So they also put it in there to make food more appealing, you know, by enhancing color, texture, taste, and to facilitate food preparation, or to otherwise make the product more marketable. And, you know, there's certain additives like sugar that are derived from natural sources, and other additives like aspartame, NutraSweet, are made synthetically. And I believe we did a program on the aspartame before, NutraSweet and all those artificial sweeteners. But it's the same with meats. You know, you put dyes in there to make it look appealing, because when you actually slaughter meats and stuff, the meat actually starts turning black. So they have to put certain dyes in there to make it look appealing. You see, I'm still going to do a whole show on just meats. We have to do that show. And I've touched on and off about meats on this program, but we have to do one specifically so that you know exactly what you're eating when you eat meat. Okay. Anyway, although, you know, many additives are used in very small amounts, it has been estimated that the average American consumes about 5 pounds of additives per year. Did you hear that? 5 pounds of additives. And if you include sugar, the food processing industry's most used additive, the number jumps to about 135 pounds a year. Yes, 135 pounds a year. Anyone whose diet is high in processed products clearly consumes a significant amount of additives and artificial ingredients. So the average person is eating about 130 pounds of sugar a year. That's a lot of sugar and the rest in additives. And if you read ingredients on many of those processed foods, you'll see sugar in there. Yes, you will. And it comes under different hidden names. It could be dextrose, high fructose corn syrup, and all these type of things. But it's sugar. And if it is the first ingredient on the label, then that's what it has the most of. And whatever the last ingredient is on the label, that's what it has the least of. Okay, so remember that. When purchasing something, whatever you see as the first ingredient on the label, be sure that's the most, it has, that is the most of that ingredient in that food. So hopefully you got that. All right. Now, so anyone whose diet is high in processed products, you know, they clearly consume a significant amount of additives and artificial ingredients. And at their best, additives and artificial ingredients simply add little now, or no nutritional value to a food product. And at their worst, additives pose a threat to your health. You hear that? A threat to your health. And the history of additive use includes a number of products that were once deemed safe, but later were banned or allowed to be used only if accompanied by warnings. Huh? Yes, the artificial sweeteners. Remember cyclamates and saccharin? Those are two examples of such products. Other additives like monosodium glutamate, MSG, and aspartame are used without warnings, but have been known to cause problems ranging from headaches and diarrhea to confusion, memory loss, and seizures. Huh? Go on the internet. Google it. You'll see for yourself. So the number of food additives now in use is staggering, brothers and sisters. It's staggering. So if you can't understand what the word says, stay away from it. Or at least type it in. Go and Google it and see what it means. See what its source is. Okay? And then maybe you'll start rejecting these foods and say, no, I can't use that in my system. I don't want it in my system, because if that stuff accumulates, it may lead to something drastic. Anyway, so I say to you, increase your consumption of raw produce. The most healthful fruits and vegetables are those that have been grown organically. I have mentioned it to you because a lot of stuff is GMO now, and a lot of stuff has been sprayed heavily. So you want these foods to be organically grown without the use of insecticides and herbicides and artificial fertilizers or growth-stimulating chemicals. Okay? So you didn't find your organic produce in your health food stores, and you have those whole food markets, and you have farmers markets that come during the summer to your towns and stuff. A lot of them sell organic fruits and vegetables. So choose that as opposed to the rest. And when in choosing your produce, you know, look for fruits and vegetables that are at the peak of ripeness, because these contain more vitamins and enzymes than do foods that are underripe or overripe, or that have been stored for any length of time. And remember that the longer a food is kept in storage, the more nutrients it loses. So all that stuff sitting on the shelves forever is lost its nutrients. There's nothing there. It's dead food. It's just dead, lifeless food. You see? And once you get your organic produce home, you know, run some water on it, get a vegetable brush, and clean it, and get it ready for the table. And if the produce is not organic, which, you know, everybody can't find organic, or it's hard for them, but you can go to farmers markets and find non-organic, which is still much fresher than what you're going to find in these supermarkets, you see. But if you get types as non-organic and you want to clean it, you know, wash it thoroughly to get rid of any chemical residues. Use a soft vegetable brush to scrub the foods and then let them soak in water for 10 minutes. You get some of the chemicals off, you see. It's much healthier than just eating it without washing it. Now, I can't understand why people, they buy fresh produce like that, and they don't think to wash the food. Now, here you are in the supermarket. I see this happening all the time, and you see it yourself. You see people picking at grapes and just throwing it in their mouth. You know, people get around there, they want to taste it to see if it's worth buying or whatever. And it's just, you didn't wash it. How many hands have been on it before it got to the store? You see what I'm saying? You don't know. So wash it first. Okay? And you can also clean your produce with non-toxic rinsing preparations, which are available in some reputable health food stores. You know, they call it a vegetable wash or something of that nature. And if your produce, most like non-organic stuff, are waxed, maybe you need to peel them because you can't wash the wax away. The wax is going nowhere. But if you can just remove a thin layer of peel as much as possible, you're better off. Now, how do you know if it's waxed? First of all, just touch it. If it feels a little slippery, okay, you know it's waxed. If it looks real shiny, you know it's waxed. Or you can take a knife and just scrape the skin lightly. And if you see a white substance come up, it's waxed. You see? Yeah. Why do they wax it? Oh, to make it look good. They try to make it appealing. And everybody wants something shiny. I remember back in the day. It's going way back now. I'm telling my age. But anyway, when the fruit man used to come down the street, sometimes it'd be on a horse and buggy, okay, and he'd have his fruit all on the buggy up there, and at times, if you watch carefully, you would see the guy, the salesman, sometimes spit on the apple and shine it up and sell it to you. Now, that's disgusting. But they would do that. You see, that's why I say you got to wash stuff. You don't know what people are doing to this stuff. Okay? So just a warning. Okay, now. So most fruits and vegetables should be eaten in their entirety, as all parts, including the skin, contain valuable nutrients. Now, you hate to lose the skin because a lot of your nutrients are right in the skin. And like when eating citrus fruits, you remove the rinds, but eat the white part inside the skin because it's vitamin C in there and a bioflavonoid content. So you want some of that, you see. And although most people usually cook their vegetables before eating, both fruits and vegetables should be eaten raw as much as possible, except those that need cooking, like broccoli. I mean, some people like to eat it raw, but it could be a little gaseous. But certain vegetables do need cooking to release certain nutrients. All right, for example, a sweet potato. I don't know if you want to eat that raw, but you cook it and it releases the nutrients. Some people know how to make raw dishes with the raw sweet potato and make it seem like it was cooked. Yeah, they have recipe books like that. But anyway, all enzymes and most vitamins are extremely sensitive to heat and are usually destroyed in the cooking process, you see? So if fresh produce is unavailable, then use the frozen foods instead and try to get that organic. But don't use canned vegetables or boxed vegetable dishes, you know, those, what do you call it, TV dinners or frozen dinners or whatever, as they usually contain significant amounts of salt and other unhealthy additives. If raw produce does not agree with you, then steam your vegetables lightly in a steamer, okay, or in a wok until slightly tender. But don't overcook. You know, try to avoid overcooking your foods, you see. But like I just discussed, cooking foods for all but brief periods of time can destroy many, many valuable nutrients, brothers and sisters. And more alarming is when foods are cooked to the point of browning or charring, and the organic compounds they contain undergo changes in structure, and they produce carcinogens. You ever hear of acrylamides? Acrylamides are produced by you going out there and barbecuing. You know, you barbecue and you cook it where it's turning brown and that burnt substance on there, and the same burnt substance you see on toast and all of these things, that's acrylamides. And the more acrylamides you consume and the more of that you eat, it can become carcinogenic, which can lead to cancer. And there's studies on that to show that, yeah, you keep consuming that, and you're going to pay a price. And there's a lot of you that just like to barbecue all the time. You like to all your stuff toasted, almost burnt. I remember one a friend of mine, years back, he always wanted his chicken burnt. He loved burnt chicken. I said, my God, I said, how can you eat it like that? He said, that's the way I like it. I like it burnt. Well, you know, that was his choice, okay? But I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, barbecue meats seem to pose the worst health threat in this regard. So when burning, the fat drips onto an open flame, and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which is PAHs, dangerous carcinogens are formed. Get it? They're formed. And when amino acids and other chemicals found in muscle are exposed to high temperatures, other carcinogens called heterocyclic aromatic amines are created. And in fact, many of the chemicals used to produce cancer in laboratory animals have been isolated from cooked proteins. Did you hear that? Should I read that again? In fact, many of the chemicals used to produce cancer in laboratory animals have been isolated from cooked proteins. So it is important to note, though, that cooked meats do not pose the only threat. Even browned or burnt bread crust contain a variety of carcinogenic substances. The dangers posed by the practice of cooking foods, brothers and sisters, at high temperatures or until browned or burnt should not be dismissed. Although eating habits vary widely from person to person, it seems safe to assume that many people consume many grams of overcooked foods a day. And by comparison, only half a gram of this same dangerous burnt material is inhaled by someone who smokes 2 packs of cigarettes a day. You hear that? You get the same effect. And clearly, by eating produce raw, or only lightly cooked, And by greatly limiting your consumption of meat, you will be doing much to decrease your risk of cancer and possibly all the other disorders. Think about it. I know some of you don't want to give up your meat. I know you've been raised on meat all your life. You've been taught that if there's no meat there, there's no meal. You know, where's the beef? Now you want the beef. But don't take my word for it. Look it up yourself. I'm not making this up. There's plenty of information out there, brothers and sisters. But some of you, you'll hear it, but you'll keep doing what you've always been doing. You're not going to change until one day you're struck with cancer. The doctor tells you, well, we looked into your body, and I think we see a tumor, and I think we're going to have to do some surgery, or we're going to have to do some chemotherapy, or whatever. You see, so I've been diagnosed with cancer? Yes. Yes. But from what, doctor? We don't know. We don't know. Well, I'm just saying to you, this could be the cause. Now, it could be other causes, too. I mean, environmentally or whatever. But just keep that into consideration. Okay? Now, although raw foods have many advantages over cooked, nourishing soups and a variety of other dishes can be made healthily. Soups are good. Soups, if you know how to make them right. One of the ways to ensure, you know, wholesome cooked food is the careful selection of your cookware. Now, this is important. The cookware you use to cook your food. Now, when preparing foods, use only glass or stainless steel pots. You know, they have glass cookware. Or stainless steel, which is like the best. Or iron pots and pans. Do not, listen to me, do not use aluminum cookware or utensils. Do you understand? Foods cooked or stored in aluminum produce, a substance that neutralizes the digestive juices leading to acidosis. Remember we spoke about acidosis last week, and ulcers. Be careful of aluminum. You know? You shouldn't cook it, your food in aluminum. I know some of you like you baked potatoes I see you wrap it up in aluminum and put it in the oven to cook. No. The best way, you take those potatoes, instead of wrapping them in aluminum, you get you some virgin or extra virgin, organic, if possible, and most of it is organic nowadays, coconut oil. And you rub the coconut oil on the skin. And then you put them in the oven. And then you cook it. And they are much tastier. The skin is much better, you see. So you don't have to put it in aluminum. You see? Yes. Don't store your food in aluminum because that aluminum byproducts get in the food. And it messes up your digestive juices, leading to acidosis and ulcers, like I said. And worse, the aluminum in the cookware can leach from the pot into the food. See, the cheap pots and all, they're made from aluminum. And when the food is consumed, the aluminum is absorbed by the body where it accumulates in the brain and nervous system tissues. Excessive amounts of these aluminum deposits have been implicated in Alzheimer's disease. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? Alzheimer's disease from aluminum. Make sure you get stainless steel cookware or glass cookware or iron. Iron would be maybe a third I would choose. But I would definitely, I like stainless steel. I have stainless steel cookware here. That's what I like to use. So other cookware to be avoided also includes all pots and pans with non-stick coatings. You hear that? Non-stick coatings. Too often the metals and other substances in the pots finish starts to flake or leaches into the food. And ultimately, these chemicals end up in your body. That's why you don't want to use any of these non-stick pots. Okay? Stay away from them. They are dangerous to your health. Don't let these people fool you and try to tell you it's safe. It's not safe. And they know it. Okay. Let's move on. Because we got to speak about enzymes. Enzymes. Okay? We just touched on it a little bit just a few minutes ago. But what are enzymes? What are enzymes? Enzymes are the sparks of life. These energized protein molecules play a necessary role in virtually all the biochemical activities that go on in your body or in the body. And they are essential for digesting food, for stimulating the brain, for providing cellular energy, and for repairing all tissues, organs, and cells. And life as we know it could not exist, brothers and sisters, without the action of enzymes, even in the presence of sufficient amounts of vitamins and minerals, water, and other nutrients. You got to have enzymes. In their primary role, enzymes are what you call catalysts, substances that accelerate and precipitate the hundreds of thousands of biochemical reactions in the body that control life's processes. And if it were not for the catalytic action of enzymes, most of these reactions would take place far too slowly to sustain life. And enzymes are not consumed in the reactions they facilitate. And enzymes are so important, brothers and sisters. You just don't know. I'm telling you, you got to have foods that contain enzymes. You know, each enzyme has a specific function in the body that no other enzyme can fulfill. And the chemical shape of each enzyme is specialized so that it can imitate a reaction only in a certain substance or in a group of closely related chemical substances and not in others. So the substance on which an enzyme acts is called the substrate, because there must be different enzymes for every substrate. The body must produce a great number of different enzymes. Yes, your body produces enzymes. But what are the functions of enzymes? Enzymes assist in practically all bodily functions. Please stay with me, brothers and sisters. You need to know what is being said here. This can help save your life and help you to good health and to keep good health. Because if you're not going to make the changes that your body needs, you will waste away slowly but surely. Anyway. What are the enzymes, the functions of enzymes? And like I said, enzymes assist in practically all bodily functions. Digestive enzymes break down food particles for storage in the liver or muscles. Did you hear that? This stored energy is later converted by other enzymes for use by the body when necessary. Now, iron is concentrated in the blood by the action of enzymes. Other enzymes in the blood help the blood to coagulate in order to stop bleeding. And urosolytic enzymes catalyze the conversion of uric acid into urea. You know what urea is, right? And respiratory enzymes facilitate the elimination of carbon dioxide from the lungs. So enzymes assist the kidneys, the liver, lungs, colon, and skin in removing waste and toxins from the body to construct new muscle tissue, nerve cells, bone, skin, and glandular tissue. So one enzyme can take dietary phosphorus and convert it into bone, you see? And enzymes prompt the oxidation of glucose, which creates energy for the cells. Yeah, your cells need energy. Enzymes also protect the blood from dangerous waste material by converting these substances to forms that are easily eliminated by the body. So indeed, brothers and sisters, the functions of enzymes are so many and so diverse that it would be impossible to name them all. I can't. I just don't know how powerful enzymes are. Enzymes are often divided into two groups, digestive enzymes and metabolic enzymes. And digestive enzymes are secreted along the gastrointestinal tract and break down food, enabling the nutrients to be absorbed into the bloodstream for use in various bodily functions. It's plain and simple. And there are three main categories of digestive enzymes. That is amylase. You may want to write these down. Write them down. Amylase, A-M-Y-L-A-S-E. The next one is protease, P as in Peter, R-O-T, as in Tom, E-A-S-E. And lastly is lipase, L-I-P, as in Peter, A-S-E. Now, let's look at these. Amylase is found in saliva and in the pancreatic and intestinal juices, breaks down the carbohydrates. So different types of amylase break down specific types of sugars. For example, lactase breaks down milk sugar or lactose. Maltose breaks down malt sugar or maltose. And sucrase breaks down cane and beet sugar, which is sucrose. So protease found in the stomach juices and also in the pancreatic and intestinal juices helps to digest protein. So lipase, found in the stomach and pancreatic juices, and also present in fats and foods, aids in fat digestion. That's what they do. You see? Now, I know this is like a classroom this evening. I'm trying to help you understand your body. You need to know these. You know, you're supposed to know your body. What are the functions of the body? How does the body operate? You live in it. You're living it in every day. Do you understand your body? Do you know what makes your body tick? You see? You need to know your body. Just like you need to know yourself, your real self. Anyway, let's go on. So the metabolic enzymes are those enzymes that catalyze the various chemical reactions within the cells, such as energy production and detoxification. So all of the body's organs, tissues, and cells are run by the metabolic enzymes. Could you imagine if we didn't have metabolic enzymes? What would happen? Your body would break down, die off. See, these metabolic enzymes, they are the workers that build the body from proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. And metabolic enzymes are found in the blood, organs, and tissues doing their specific work. So each body tissue has its own specific set of metabolic enzymes. And two particularly important metabolic enzymes are what they call superoxide dismutase. This is very important, brother and sisters. Write this down. I'm going to spell it for you, matter of fact. S-U-P as in Peter, E-R-O-X-I-D. And dismutase is D as in David, I-S-M-U-T-A-S-E, superoxide dismutase. Or you can just write these three letters down, S-O-D. If you went to the health food store and asked for S-O-D, they know you're asking for superoxide dismutase. And it's got a partner called catalase. So the SOD is an antioxidant that protects the cells by attacking a common free radical superoxide, okay? And the catalase breaks down hydrogen peroxide and metabolic waste product and liberates oxygen for the body to use. Now, let's look at food enzymes. This is very important here, brothers and sisters. Food enzymes. How many of you out there use food enzymes with your meals? Especially you all who cook all your food. How many? Raise your hand. I can't see you. Okay. Now, let's look at, I wish I could see you. But let's look at the food enzymes. You know, while the body manufactures a supply of enzymes, okay, it can also obtain enzymes from food. Now, unfortunately, enzymes are extremely sensitive to heat. Even low to moderate heat, that's like 118 degrees Fahrenheit or above, destroys most enzymes in food. So to obtain enzymes from the diet, one must eat raw food. And eating raw foods or alternatively taking enzyme supplements helps prevent depletion of the body's own enzymes and thus produce stress on the body. Now, that's why if you are one who cooks your food all the time, you have to take enzymes along with it. Otherwise, you'll use up your body enzymes. You only have it so much. And your body will start to break down. So enzymes can be found in many different foods from both plant and animal sources. Now, write these foods down. Avocados, papayas, pineapples, bananas, and mangoes are all high in enzymes. Did you hear that? These foods are high in enzymes. Sprouts are the richest source of enzymes. Anybody ever buy sprouts from the store? Alfalfa sprouts, bean sprouts, and all those type of things. Broccoli sprouts, which are excellent. These are great. But anyway, unripe papaya and pineapple are excellent sources of enzymes. And the enzymes extracted from papaya and pineapple, which is papain and bromelain. Papain is from the papaya, and bromelain is from the pineapple, respectively, are proteolytic enzymes. They're called proteolytic enzymes. So many fat-containing foods also supply lipase, which break down fats. In fact, fat in food expose only to pancreatic lipase, lipase produced by the body in the intestines, is not as well digested as fat that is first worked on in the stomach by food lipase, L-I-P-A-S-E. So the pancreatic lipase digests fat in a highly alkaline environment, the intestines, whereas the lipase found in food fats works in a more acidic environment, the stomach. So the optimal extraction of nutrients from fats depends on the work of different fat digesting enzymes in successive stages. So the superoxide dismutase occurs naturally in a variety of food sources. Remember, I just spoke about superoxide dismutase, SOD. And where do you find it? In what food sources? Barley grass, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, wheatgrass, and green plants. You know, all these foods right there protect you from cancer? Yes, they do. You eat cabbage every day, you won't have to worry about no cancer. Anyway, I'm just lightly touching on this. Now, what about commercially available enzymes? The majority of commercially available enzymes are digestive enzymes extracted from various sources. Scientists, you know, they're unable to manufacture enzymes synthetically. But most commercial enzyme products are made from animal enzymes, such as pancreatine and pepsin, which help in the digestion of food once it has reached the lower stomach and intestinal tract. So some companies make their supplements from enzymes extracted from Aspergillus, a type of fungus. And these enzymes begin their predigestive work in the upper stomach. So all these products are used primarily to aid digestion of foods and absorption of nutrients, especially protein. So let's look at this. Proteolytic enzymes available in supplement form include pepsin, trypsin, renin, pancreatin, and chymotrypsin. In addition to aiding digestion, proteolytic enzymes have been shown to be beneficial as anti-inflammatory agents. And pancreatin derived from secretions of animal pancreas is a focus of cancer research because people with cancer are often deficient in this enzyme. So pancreatin is used in the treatment of pancreatic insufficiency and cystic fibrosis and digestive problems, food allergies, autoimmune disorders, viral infections, and sports injuries. So, you know, all these are available in supplement form, or the antioxidant enzymes of superoxide dismutase and catalase. So enzymes are so important, brothers and sisters. Look. Now, if you buy a pineapple, you know the core of that pineapple, that's all bromelain. That's all enzymes. You can take that. Listen to me. Take that part and juice it, and you have pure enzymes. And you can take that along with your meals. You see? And it helps to break down certain foods. Or the papain, which is made from the seeds of the papaya, which also break down certain foods. But, you know, enzymes are also available over-the-counter in tablet capsule, powder form, and liquid forms. And also they may be sold in combination with each other or as separate items. So some enzyme products also contain garlic. Yes, garlic, to help digestion. So for maximum benefit, brothers and sisters, any digestive enzyme supplement you choose should contain all of the major enzyme groups. And which are those? The three I named and had you write down the first time: amylase, protease, and lipase. And digestive enzymes should be taken after meals. After meals. That's just like when I told you to take the core of the pineapple and you juice it, but you would take that after the meal. Unless you are eating processed and or cooked foods, in which case it is best to take them during the meal. Yeah, that's for you who like to cook all your food. And you can make your own digestive enzymes easily by, if you take papaya seeds and dry them and place them in a pepper grinder and sprinkle them on your food. Okay, it'll be mixing with your food, and it kind of has a peppery taste to it, you see. And if you take the supplemental superoxide dismutase, make sure to choose a product that is enteric coated. Let me spell that for you. E-N-T as in Thomas, E-R-I-C, enteric coated. And that is coated with a protective substance that allows the superoxide dismutase to pass intact through the stomach acid to be absorbed in the small intestine. Okay? So make sure if you buy that, it's enteric coated. And all forms of enzymes should be kept, you know, in a cool place to ensure its potency. Tablets and liquids can be stored in the refrigerator. However, powder and capsule forms should not be refrigerated because they are susceptible to moisture. So they should be stored in a cool, dry place. Okay? And, you know, research has also shown that as we grow older, brothers and sisters, the body's ability to produce enzymes decreases. And at the same time, malabsorption of nutrients, tissue breakdown, and chronic health conditions increase. So taking the supplemental enzymes can help to ensure that you continue to get the full nutritional value from your foods. You see? Yes. And it's really vital for elderly persons. Yes. So go to your health food store. You'll find all different types. Get a good brand. Get a reputable brand. And use those, please. I can't name them over the over this program, but you'll find some very good ones in the health food store. Now, I also wanted to touch on natural food supplements. Yes, natural food supplements. Have your pen and pad ready, but sisters, you need to know this. What are natural food supplements? Well, what do they include? They include a variety of products. Almost all health food stores carry them, brothers and sisters, and a number of enlightened drug stores are starting to carry them, and supermarkets stock them on the shelves as well. So natural food supplements are composed of, derived from, or byproducts of foods that provide a multitude of health benefits. Some cases, health benefit claims made by manufacturers are based upon a supplement's use in traditional healing. In other cases, they are based on modern research and development. So food supplements can be high in certain nutrients and contain active ingredients that aid digestive and metabolic processes or provide a combination of nutrients and active ingredients. So it's important to point out, brothers and sisters, that some scrupulous manufacturers make false promises. It is all therefore vital to be an informed consumer. It is also necessary to be aware that many conservative watchdog organizations point to these few unsubstantiated products and label the whole industry as unreliable. So this occurs in spite of the fact that natural food supplements have been known to work for years. And these products are only medically endorsed when they are discovered by researchers deemed acceptable by these groups. And such recent discoveries, brothers and sisters, including garlic, aloe vera, fiber fish oils, and brand substances that have been used for centuries in many parts of the world. And let me just say this one thing here. See, they can't patent foods, okay? They have found out that pomegranate, you all know what the pomegranate is. You know, that's that what they call the Chinese apple. They have pomegranate juice and powders and all that out there now. They can't patent that. But now they found out how potent and powerful the pomegranate is and the beneficial health effects from consuming pomegranate. Now they want to make a drug from the pomegranate, you see, to sell to you. Yes. So that when they make the drug, you can't make a claim that the pomegranate itself, the natural pomegranate, has any health benefits. But they'll take it and they'll claim the health benefits, but it's in a drug form. And you're going to have side effects. This is what they do. So you're going to pay arm and a leg for a drug when if you just eat the pomegranate or drink the juice or the concentrate or the powder, you get all the benefits without the side effects. But this is how they operate. And you think you're going to get something. You will get something, all right. A lot of side effects from their drug, you see, and they know it. And they're going to make big money off the ignorant masses that don't know better. The way food is made in nature, the way God made it, is the best way. Nobody can make it better than God. I know some of you out there may not even believe in God. Okay? But the creation produces what we need. So, what's on our shelves, brothers and sisters? Food supplements. They come in every shape and form. They come in tablets and capsules, powders, liquids, jellies, creams, biscuits, wafers, granules, and all, and more. And product packaging depends entirely on the nature of the food supplement's composition. So the potency of these products varies because they are made up of perishable foods, food derivatives, or food byproducts. And their potency may be affected by the length of time they stay on the shelf or the temperatures at which they are kept. So if you don't understand how a product is to be used, brothers and sisters, ask questions or read the available literature on the particular supplement. That's all. And if you never use a natural food supplement, you may be uncomfortable about buying and using one for the first time. And this is normal. Okay? But keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that once you become familiar with its use and benefits, you won't give the idea of using it a second thought. Believe me, I love supplements. And in this day and age, with all this pollution, you see, and all this commercially conventional way of growing crops and all, you need to have some supplements, you see, because if you're eating these conventional raised vegetables and fruits with the pesticides and all that, the soil is depleted of minerals and the vitamins it needs, whereas organically grown, you get most of the nutrients and a high concentration of it. Anyway, let's look at some of the food supplements. Now, I think I mentioned last week about alfalfa. I'm not talking about the little rascals here. Alfalfa, one of the most mineral-rich foods known on the planet. Do you know that alfalfa has roots that grow as much as 130 into the earth? Did you hear that? 130 feet into the earth. That's deep into the earth. It's got to be very nutritious for this, pulling up some minerals that you won't normally get. But anyway, you can find alfalfa available in liquid extract form, and it's good to use while fasting because of its chlorophyll and nutrient makeup. You know, the makeup of chlorophyll is almost the same as the makeup of blood, except for one molecule. So that should tell you something. It contains calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, plus all known vitamins. And the minerals are in a balanced form, which promotes absorption. So these minerals are alkaline, but have a neutralizing effect on the intestinal tract. So if you need a mineral supplement, alfalfa is a good choice. And let me tell you, alfalfa has helped many arthritis sufferers. And alfalfa, wheatgrass, barley, and spirulina, all of which contain chlorophyll, have been found to aid in the healing of intestinal ulcers and gastritis and liver disorders, eczema, hemorrhoids, asthma, high blood pressure, anemia, constipation, body and breath odor, bleeding gums, infections, burns, athlete's foot, you know, the stinking foot, and cancer. Why don't you go out and buy you some alfalfa? You heard what I just said? This is a beneficial food supplement. You can buy it in liquid form. They have it in liquid form. I go to the health food store, I buy me a bottle. I take a little shot every day. I mix it in water. Put a tablespoon, mix it in water, and take it down. And look at the benefits you get. Look at all the vitamins and minerals and all this. Because the roots go so deep into the earth. Are you ready to go buy some alfalfa? Okay. It won't make your hair stand up like my man Alfalfa and the Little Rascals. Just a joke. Anyway, that's another good food supplement. Many of you are aware of aloe vera. Yeah, I love that name, aloe vera. That sounds so nice. And, you know, this plant is known for its healing effect. And it's used in many cosmetic and hair products. But there are over 200 different species of aloe that grow around the world in those dry regions. I've seen some in Africa. They were so tall. My God. Woo! There's some big aloe vera. Very tall. But anyway, aloe vera is commonly known as a skin healer, a moisturizer and softener, and it is dramatically effective on burns of all types and also good for cuts, insect stings, bruises, acne, blemishes, poison ivy, welts, skin ulcers, and eczema. But taken internally, 98 or 99% pure aloe vera is known to aid in the healing of stomach disorders, ulcers, constipation, hemorrhoids, rectal itching, colitis, and all colon problems. It can also be helpful against infections, varicose veins, skin cancer, and arthritis. And they say it's also used in the treatment of AIDS. So, you know, a lot of us had excellent results using colon cleansers containing psyllium husk in combination with aloe vera juice. Okay? And there are some very good, make sure, look, as I always mention, make sure it's a whole leaf aloe vera juice. You know what? I used to grow my own aloe vera at my home. And I would just take the leaf and take those little prickly things off. I wash it. And I cut a piece. I would put it in my smoothie. You wouldn't even know it was there. And drink it. Very good. Very good. But like I said, you can go to your health food store, Whole Foods Market, or whatever, and you can get aloe vera there. Look for the best type of aloe vera possible. I can't name names. I would like to name the names of a couple of them, but, you know, this is not the type of program I believe you're not allowed to. I have to find out for sure from Imam Alfred if we can mention these products. And if we can, next time I come on, I will mention a couple for you, okay? Anyway, so make sure, and listen, the aloe, some aloe just don't need refrigeration. And some of it just tastes like plain water. You wouldn't even know you were drinking aloe. You see? Yes. So, you know, the good also for food allergy and colon disorder sufferers. Also, psyllium, which some aloe has, keeps the folds and pockets in the colon free of toxic material that gathers there. But the aloe vera not only has a healing effect, but if constipation or diarrhea is present, it will return the stools to normal. Wouldn't you like that, brothers and sisters, those of you who are constipated and it takes you a half hour to an hour to leave the bathroom and you're lucky you get one out? Okay, this would help things to be normal. It takes a few weeks to change the colon or to cleanse the colon, but regular periodic use will keep the colon clean. And as with any substance, brothers and sisters, it is possible to develop an intolerance to aloe vera juice and or psyllium husk. So this treatment should not be used on an ongoing basis. Okay? But use it, and then after a while of use, you stay off it for a few and then go back to it. Now, another good supplement is barley grass. Yes, barley grass. You can find that in your health food store, in powdered form or juice form, whatever. But it's high in calcium, iron, and all the essential amino acids. Chlorophyll, flavonoids, vitamin B12, vitamin C, and many minerals, plus the enzymes. So this food heals the stomach, helps the duodenal and colon disorders, as well as pancreatitis. That's inflammation of the pancreas, and is an effective anti-inflammatory. So keep barley grass in mind. Okay? How about bee pollen? Like, whoa, bee pollen. Yes, bee pollen. Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Muhammad Ali, he used bee pollen and bee propolis. He was into that. How do you think he made up that poem? Anyway, bee pollen. It's like a powder-like material that is produced by the anthers of flowering plants and gathered by bees. So it is composed of 10 to 15% protein and also contains B-complex vitamins, vitamin C, amino acids, essential fatty acids, enzymes, carotene, calcium, copper, iron, magnesium, potassium, manganese, sodium, plant steroids, and simple sugars. Okay? And like other bee products, bee pollen has an antimicrobial effect. In addition, it is useful for combating fatigue. And let me tell you something. I'm a very energetic person. I remember years ago when I heard about bee pollen, I started taking bee pollen. Now let me just say this. When you purchase bee pollen, buy the granules. I don't care for those capsules and all. Buy the loose granules. And you take a teaspoon a day. But let me tell you something. When I started using that, I didn't realize that after a while, it's like I go to sleep. I could barely sleep. I was just feeling energetic all the time. And my sleep was, like, short. And I was saying, my God, man, why can't I sleep? And I was trying to figure this out. I said, well, I started taking this bee pollen. Been using it for a while. Let me just stop. And when I stopped, I was getting my sleep. I'm just saying that this stuff energizes you. Believe me, this stuff is powerful. It is powerful. You need energy. Bee pollen is the way to go, brothers and sisters. Okay? But anyway, it's also good for depression, cancer, and colon disorders. And it's also helpful for people with allergies because it strengthens their immune system. Now, you may say, well, I don't know if I want to take bee pollen because I have allergy to pollen, but just like homeopathic medicine, the law is similar. If you take the pollen to fight the pollen, it will work. Anyway, let's look at this. But I always suggest before you take, just take one granule, put it under your tongue. If you don't have an allergic reaction, you're good to go. If you have an allergic reaction, leave it alone. Okay? Now, like I said, it strengthens your immune system. Okay? Now, it is best to obtain bee pollen from a local source, as this increases its anti-allergenic properties. So fresh bee pollen should not cling together or form clumps, and it should be sold in a tightly sealed container. So make sure, brothers and sisters, when you go to use this, that the pollen is not clinging together or in clumps, okay, because that's not fresh. Make sure whenever you buy it, it's in a tightly sealed container so the freshness stays in there. Okay? And they say some people, an estimated 0.05%, which is very small, of the population may be allergic to bee pollen. That's why I said you'll find out once you put a granule under your tongue. So it's best to try taking that small amount at first and watch for developing rash or any wheezing, discomfort, or any other signs of a reaction. If symptoms occur, then discontinue its use, okay? But you'll find the majority of people can handle it, and it works. I don't need it. I got so much energy as it is because of, you know, just eating the proper foods, plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables and just nuts and seeds and all this good stuff. I'm good to go. But if I felt like I was getting fatigued, bee pollen to the rescue. I'm telling you, you'll float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. How about bee propolis? You ever hear of bee propolis? Let me spell propolis for you. This is also from the bee. It's spelled P as in Peter, R-O, P as in Peter again, O-L-I-S, bee propolis. So what is bee propolis? Bee propolis, brothers and sisters, is a resinous substance collected from various plants by bees. And bees use propolis together with beeswax in the construction of hives. And as a supplement, it is an excellent aid against bacterial infections. So bee propolis is believed to stimulate phagocytosis, the means by which white blood cells destroy bacteria. You hear that? Propolis is beneficial, used as a salve for abrasions and bruises because of its antibacterial effects. So good results have been reported on the use of propolis against inflammation of the mucous membranes of the mouth and throat, for dry cough and throat, halitosis, which is stinking breath, tonsillitis, ulcers and acne, and for the stimulation of the immune system. Oh, I just mentioned tonsillitis. Matter of fact, that was supposed to have been one of my subjects last week that I said I was going to talk about this week. Looks like I'm going to have to save it for next week. Okay. I apologize, but I'll touch on that because I know some of you may be suffering with that. Anyway, be sure that any bee products you use smell and taste fresh. All bee products should be in a tightly sealed container. And it's best to purchase these products from a manufacturer who specializes in bee products. And if you are using bee products for allergies, it is best to obtain products that are produced within a 10-mile radius of your home. This way you get a minute dose of pollen to desensitize you to the local pollen in your area. But the bee propolis is so powerful, you know, especially to if you have a wound, for instance, okay, it'll keep it, if you pack it in there, the bee propolis, it'll keep it from being infected because it kills the bacteria, and bacteria is in water, and the propolis dries up the water. It's the same as raw honey. You know, you find that in raw honey too. So this is something you should keep handy, okay? All right. What else? We got a few more to cover. What time is it here? 7:10 Eastern Time. I've got maybe less than 20 minutes to wind this up. So let me squeeze in a couple more. Chlorella. Chlor, C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A. Chlorella. Very important, brothers and sisters. Chlorella is a tiny, single-celled, water-grown algae containing a nucleus and an enormous amount of readily available chlorophyll. It also contains protein, approximately 58%, carbohydrates, all the B vitamins, vitamin C and E, amino acids, and rare trace minerals. In fact, it is virtually a complete food, and it contains more vitamin B12 than liver does. They say you can't get vitamin B12 outside of eating meat. Nonsense. I just said 12, vitamin B12, okay? More vitamin B12 than liver does, okay? It contains more than liver does, plus a considerable amount of beta carotene. It has a strong cell wall, however, which makes it difficult to gain access to its nutrients. So consequently, it requires factory processing to be effective. So chlorella is one of the few edible species of water-grown algae. And the chlorophyll in chlorella can help speed the cleansing of the bloodstream. And chlorella is a very high in RNA and DNA, and has been found to protect against the effects of ultraviolet radiation. And studies show that chlorella is an excellent source of protein, especially for people who cannot and who choose not to eat meat, like myself. Okay? All right. There's some good products like sun chlorella. Very excellent. This protects you against cancer. You understand? Oh, it is good for you, brothers and sisters. I mean, just the alfalfa and chlorella by itself would do you wonders. Would do you wonders. Oh, I got so much here to cover. I mean, you got the fish oils, essential fatty acids, corn germ, wheat germ, and all this stuff here. Black seeds, and I got so much I want to cover here. And I'm going to just try to cover a couple more here. Maybe next week, God willing, maybe I can touch on a few more of these great supplements that we should all be taking. How about kelp? Kelp is a type of seaweed. That can be eaten raw, but it is usually dried and granulated or ground into powder. It is also available in liquid form that can be added to drinking water. But granulated or powdered kelp can be used as a condiment and for flavoring as a salt substitute. And if you find the taste unappealing, you can purchase it in a tablet form. That's the way I take it. Kelp is a rich source of vitamins, especially the B vitamins, as well as of many valuable minerals and trace elements, and it is reported to be very beneficial to brain tissue, the membranes surrounding the brain, the sensory nerves, and the spinal cord, as well as the nails and blood vessels. It has been used in the treatment of thyroid problems because of its iodine content, and is useful for other conditions as varied as hair loss, obesity, and ulcers. It protects against the effects of radiation and softens your stools. Kelp is recommended as a daily dietary supplement, especially for people with mineral deficiencies. Did you get that? Yes. Keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. It's good to have kelp. I use it every day. I don't allow myself to not take these things when I know my body needs it. Some people deny themselves. I don't need that. I don't like the way that tastes. I'm okay. I see you and you're sick and looking so terrible. And, you know, and I try to tell you, please, to do yourself a favor. Just try it. Make yourself like it. If it's going to benefit you, use it. Okay? Don't deny yourself. Your body needs certain fuel, minerals, and vitamins. It's needed. Let's do another one. Spirulina. Let me spell that for you. S, P as in Peter, I, R, U, L, I, N, A, spirulina. Good stuff. Recognized the world over as the most promising of all microalgae. Spirulina is an immediate food resource. Spirulina thrives in hot, sunny climates and in alkaline waters around the world. It represents a breakthrough in the production of food, producing 20 times as much protein as soybeans grown on an equal-sized area of land. You hear that? 20 times more protein than soybeans grown on an equal-sized area of land. Spirulina contains concentrations of nutrients unlike any other single grain, herb, or plant. It contains gamma-linolenic acid, that's GLA, linolenic and arachidonic acids, vitamin B12, needed especially by vegetarians like myself for healthy red blood cells, iron, a high level of protein, 60 to 70%, essential amino acids, the nucleic acids of RNA and DNA, chlorophyll, phycocyanin, a blue pigment that is found only in blue-green algae and that has increased the survival rate of mice with liver cancer in laboratory experiments. Spirulina is a naturally digestible food that aids in protecting the immune system, in cholesterol reduction, and in mineral absorption. And spirulina is beneficial while fasting. It supplies the nutrients needed to help cleanse and heal while also curbing the appetite. So a person with hypoglycemia may benefit from using this food supplement between meals because its high protein content helps stabilize blood sugar levels. But sister, what are you waiting for? You should be running to the store right now. But wait till I finish, though. Wait till I finish, okay? Less than 10 minutes. Let's do another one. Wheatgrass. That's one of my favorites. Oh, my God, wheatgrass. All you need is 1 ounce a day. That's some powerful food. And wheatgrass is a rich nutritional food. And it was popularized by this woman, Dr. Ann Wigmore. She was an educator and founder of the Hippocrates Health Institute in Boston. Wheatgrass contains a great variety of vitamins, minerals, and trace elements. And according to Dr. Wigmore, she said 1 pound of fresh wheatgrass is equal in nutritional value to nearly 25 pounds of the choicest vegetables. That's powerful. And Dr. Wigmore reported that wheatgrass therapy, along with living foods, you know what living foods are by now, helped to eliminate cancerous growths and helped many other disorders, including mental health problems. The molecular structure of chlorophyll resembles that of hemoglobin, the oxygen-carrying protein of red blood cells, and this may be the reason for the effectiveness of wheatgrass. So the key difference between the two is that the metallic atom in the middle of each molecule of human hemoglobin is iron, while the metallic atom at the center molecule of chlorophyll is magnesium. Remember, I spoke about the chlorophyll. And in experiments on anemic animals, blood counts return to normal after 4 to 5 days of receiving chlorophyll. So wheatgrass is a powerful cleanser and detoxifier. You only need 1 ounce shot a day. Okay? 1 ounce is a small amount. It smells like grass, of course, but it is powerful. I remember the first time I took wheatgrass, this brother told me about wheatgrass, I think it was back in 1984. So I saw a health food place in New York. I was walking by, and I saw the sign, wheatgrass juice. I said, oh, that's the stuff that brother was talking about, wheatgrass juice. I went in there. So I said, how much is the wheatgrass juice? He said, it was $1.50. And he gave me this little teeny cup. 1 ounce. I said, that's it? He said, yeah, that's all you need. I said, $1.50 for this little thing? That's all you need. I said, okay. He said, just take it straight down. So I took it straight down, walked out. Man, I felt like I was floating on air. I said, my God, woo! I'm telling you, it uplifted me. I said, this stuff is powerful. I said, oh, my God, this stuff is powerful. But anyway, I started learning about the wheatgrass, and a friend of mine who was a neighbor who had bought his father a wheatgrass juicer, but his father never used it, you see. And when his father passed and all, and he was getting rid of all the things that were in the house, he saw the wheatgrass juicer there. So he told me about it. He said, Rashad, would you like a wheatgrass juicer? I said, sure. I said, I was looking to purchase one. He said, no, I'll give you one. He said, I bought it from my father, but he never even used it. So he gave it to me. And, man, I went to the store and bought me a tray of wheatgrass. You know, you can buy a whole tray of wheatgrass, and you cut it, and you put it through there, and you make it fresh. Seven heaven. I'm telling you, this stuff is powerful. Brothers and sisters, don't deny yourself. Anyway, it is actually 7:25 now. 7:25, 7:24, 7:25. I'm going to have to just roll this up right now. And God willing, next week I'll touch on some more of these food supplements and also the tonsillitis, which I didn't get to last week that I was supposed to have done this week, but next week I'll include that. Oh, no. You know what? I won't be on next week. I just thought about it. I'll be out of town. So So it would have to be the week after. So maybe they'll have another program on. Forgive me. Yeah, I won't be on next week. So that will be out of town. I'm going on vacation. So, you know, forgive me. But, you know, the old boy, he needs a vacation too. I haven't been nowhere this summer. I've been so busy. But I told my wife, yeah, let's take a little vacation, even though she's been on one or two already. But, you know, I don't want to go by myself. So I told my wife, we're going to pack the bags and we're just going to rent us a car and go. So anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. And hopefully you all took notes and got something out of this. And like I always say, share it with your family members, your co-workers, your friends, whomever, strangers if you have to, and let them know the benefits and study for yourself. You know, just go on the internet, type some of this stuff in, and you'll see a lot of this information I spoke about in more detail. So, again, I thank you all. God bless you all with a beautiful evening, and hope to talk to you soon. And take care of your body, because you only get one. Take care of it. Give it the best fuel possible, okay? Give it the best. You wouldn't put some cheap fuel in a Mercedes-Benz, so your body is a Mercedes. As a matter of fact, it's a Rolls Royce. So put the best fuel in there. Again, I thank you. God bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.